Our study tonight is out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, God's final judgment of the defiled Gentile nations. Zechariah, along with Haggai, called the returning Hebrews back to rebuilding the temple, and he gave God's directives and future hope. The eighth vision in Zechariah 5, 5 to 11 of a set of eight visions predicts God's final judgment of the defiled, that should be Zechariah 6. 1 to 8. Of the set of eight visions predicts God's final judgment of the defiled Gentile nations before the millennial kingdom. So we view it for our insight and application. What I'd like to do is read that passage and then we'll look at it. So, Zechariah chapter 6, 1 through 8. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass, or bronze. And the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot, it says grizzled and bay, but it's actually dappled horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country. The white go forth after them. The dappled go forth to the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spoke unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Okay, a lot of thick symbolism here, but when we decode it, reads like a newspaper. This last vision of the eight visions given together by God to Zechariah is explained in light of the first vision. Both visions deal with horses or horsemen that represent angelic servants of God. It's interesting, horses are used by man to serve the needs of man. We use them, especially in ancient warfare, they use them for driving chariots, they use them for war. And these are angelic messengers, of course, and they're representing agents of God that go forth and they exercise, they utilize their powers to administer God's judgment. However, where the first vision presents the angels finding the Gentile nations at ease, far removed from the trouble and the ferment in which they were prophesied to be thrown, before the Lord would restore his chosen people to millennial blessing, the last vision has the horses connected to war chariots, indicating God's actual end-time warlike judgments of the Gentiles. See, the first ones, they just had scouts who were on the horses riding around the place and looking at the world and reporting back. These men are not these angels are not just scouts, the ones that are connected to chariots. They're going out to fight. They're going out to administer the judgment of God. Now, the eighth vision shows four chariots coming out from between two mountains of bronze. And the symbolism signals God's coming worldwide judgment of the nations as carried out by angelic beings. The number four represents the four corners of the earth. It's interesting, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12, four is represented, the four winds that go to the four directions of the earth. And that focuses on the entire world. When the number four often appears like that, and it's not discrete, it's not clarified, it generally means the whole world. The chariots come up from between two mountains of bronze. And since bronze typifies divine judgment in Scripture, like it does in Numbers 21:9 when Moses lifts up the bronze serpent, the chariots are moving out from the two mountains to judge the nations. The reason the bronze serpent it was on a stick that was held up, and everything that is on a stick is cursed. And Christ, it represents Christ, as he's going to be lifted up on the stick of the cross, he'll be lifted up, he'll be a curse. He made a curse for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So bronze typically represents the judgment. Now the two mountains are Mount Zion and the Mount of Olives, for the Kidron Valley between them, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And remember, the word Jehoshaphat symbolically means Yahweh judges, because Jehoshaphat is composed of two words, Yahweh and Shaphat. Yahweh is the Lord, and Shaphat, he judges. And it's repeatedly shown in prophecy to be the theater of divine judgment. Zechariah 14:4, Joel 3:2, and Joel 4:2. Many scholars believe that it's at that point in the Kidron Valley where the mountains split, the Mount of Olives splits east and west. Part of the mountain goes north, part of it goes south. That there's also going to be opening, and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet will be cast alive directly into the lake of fire at that point. We don't know, but it's interesting. That's very close to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was near the Kidron Valley. That's where our Lord suffered. So judgment upon the nations oppressing Israel will proceed from the heart and capital of the Jewish homeland. Now, the four sets of horses, each set joined to a chariot, are colored in order as red, black, white, and dappled. And it roughly corresponds to the four horses of Revelation 6, 1 to 8. The red typify war and bloodshed, the black famine and death, the white victory and triumph, and the dappled roughly align with the pale horse of Revelation 6, 8 to refer to death by more direct divine plagues and judgments. In other words, it's death by a variety of means. Now the angel told Zechariah that these chariots represent spirit beings that go forth from before the Lord of all the earth. And whenever the phrase "the Lord of all the earth" appears in regards to these visions, it refers to God in reference to ruling someday the entire earth. He's thinking of the messianic kingdom that is to come. So, they go forth from before the Lord of all the earth in preparation for the kingdom, the Lord who will one day reign over the entire world in the millennial kingdom, obviously to administer judgment, as signified in the use of chariots on a destructive warlike mission. See, the first time the Lord Jesus presented himself to Israel, he came on a donkey. And that's what a king does when he's trying to present himself in peace. The next time he comes on a white horse. And a white horse is a conqueror. And he's coming with war. Chariots did not travel west from Israel, as that was the Mediterranean Sea. You don't get very far if you drive a chariot into the sea. Nor did they go east into the desert. So the angel mentions that the chariots leave Israel going only in the northerly and southerly directions, and they apparently fan out from there to administer God's judgments on a worldwide scale. Now, though the black and the white horses are stated as going north and the dappled horses south, there's no reference made to the direction of the red horses in Zechariah 6:6, but the scope is still worldwide. And all the horsed chariots go out in every direction after the black and the white horses have executed judgment in the north country and the dappled to the south. Merrill Unger feels that the red ones stay behind temporarily, but after the others go out, then it goes out. I don't know, it's very difficult to tell that. But anyway, the horses are going north and they're going south because they can't go into the sea, they don't go to the Arabian Desert. They go out and then they fan out in the north and they go out and they fan out south. Into Egypt and Africa and whatnot. So, this is interesting. In Zechariah 6:7, all the horses sought to go to walk to and fro in the earth. And the word seek renders the Hebrew verb yebhakeshu. And it's in the participle form. And it means to strive after, to be zealous. So in the participle form, the horses were restively eager to go forth in every direction to unloose judgment upon the earth, preparatory of the establishment of Messiah as king priest over his universal kingdom. In other words, the horses are striving after, being zealous after. There's an ongoing action. The horses are anxious to get out and to drive. Now the angel speaking with Zechariah then cried out, saying, "Behold, they that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country." There's a particular concern that God has of judging something in the north country. Now, what's the north? The north was the direction one in Israel took to go to Babylon. Now, Babylon is actually northeast, east by northeast of Israel, something like that. But in order to get there, you don't go across the desert. You go north up to the headwaters or near the headwaters of the Tigris and the Euphrates, and then you make a right-hand turn, and you go back sort of southeast to go towards Babylon. But from Israel, you go north to get to Babylon. So what's happening, north was the direction one in Israel went to go to Babylon, where the woman in the ephah had been sent in the last vision, Zechariah 5, 10 to 11. So God's judgment on Babylon that had so badly oppressed his people and influenced them to adopt materialistic idolatry that had delayed their rebuilding of his temple, which idolatry would be fuel to the world apostate Babylon, the great in the end time, would be fully punished to the appeasing of God's great wrath. See, God's still thinking through these visions. He's thinking about what had caused the people to sin and not finishing his temple. It's materialism. Materialism that began in Babylon. And that materialism is something that's going to come full-blown into a form of idolatrous materialism in Babylon the Great. So God's wrath will finally be fully expended against Babylon when these horses go out, and especially to the north country, because it represents where Babylon, which became a worldwide system, which will be centered in the city of Rome during the tribulation period. So God will surely judge the world and apostate Babylon the Great before he sets up the millennial kingdom. So in application, due to the certainty of God's future judgment of the nations and of the Babylon the Great apostasy, may we live for Christ, not this world, and may we stand fast for Bible truth against errant religious views. Babylon the Great is going to be promoting the false religious views of the world. It's going to be summing it up. And that's why God wants us to hold very, very strongly to biblical truth against errant religious views. And he doesn't want us to live for this world. He wants us to live for the world that is to come, and that is the kingdom of our Lord. So this finally ends the tremendous visions that were all given, eight visions, one right after the other, apparently on the same night that were given to the prophet Zechariah. And they were demonstrated the heart of God and the full thrust and concerns that God had because of what his people were going through and the spiritual challenges that his people were facing. I'm impressed, after looking at all of these visions, recognizing that came on one night, how completely thorough God is. He covers all the bases. He doesn't skip a beat. Wherever there's sin, he's going to deal with it. Wherever there needs to be encouragement, he's going to encourage. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth. That's what the prophet says, and they certainly do. So God knows us. His eyes are upon us. He's watching us. So we need to be aware of that and recognize that we are accountable to him.